Shankaraya Kasubhasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivesesha Sunyavali Prashkatya Dejitarane Om Ganatya Minandasya Dhananjana Salakaya Chaksu Samiratam Jena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Prakadam Hayam Gatatisa Padantikam Vanisha Kapadu Vyascha Vibhasandu Vai Vyascha Patisaram Avinendu Vaisavibhyam Namo Namah. This is the second chapter, the beginning of the second chapter of the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam. This sequence of chapters, the second, the third, and the fourth, deal with the elephant Gajendra. Just prior to this, when the Manus were being described, it described how during the Manvatara of the Tamasa Manu, then the Lord appeared as Hari. And Hari means he took away. So Hari took away the distress of his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants. So, and ultimately he awarded Gajendra, the king of the elephants, liberation. So these chapters are called Gajendra Moksha, or the liberation of Gajendra. So Prickett Raj asked about these, about the pastime of Gajendra. So now Sukadev Goswami is going to narrate it. My dear king, there is a very large mountain called Trikuta. It is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. Being surrounded by the ocean of milk, it is very beautifully situated. The length and breadth of the mountain are of the same measurement, 80,000 miles. Its three principal peaks, which are made of iron, silver, and gold, beautify all directions in the sky. The mountain also has other peaks, which are full of jewels and minerals and are decorated with nice trees, creepers, and shrubs. The sounds of the waterfalls on the mountain create a pleasing vibration. In this way, the mountain stands, increasing the beauty of all directions. The ground at the foot of the mountain is always washed by waves of milk that produce emeralds all around in the eight directions. North, south, east, west, and the directions midway between them. Here's Prabhupada's purport. From Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that there are various oceans. Somewhere there is an ocean filled with milk, somewhere an ocean of liquor, an ocean of ghee, an ocean of oil, and an ocean of sweet water. Thus there are different varieties of oceans within this universe. The modern scientists who have only limited experience cannot defy these statements. They cannot give us full information about any planet, even the planet on which we live. So when Prabhupada says they cannot defy it, means that you cannot prove that such a thing does not exist, because they don't know enough about the universe to say that there is no place, even though they may say it, but they cannot truly authoritatively say it. They cannot say that there is no place where these things do not exist. What to speak of knowing every aspect of the universe, Prabhupada is explaining, that they cannot even give us full information about any planet, even the planet on which we live. So the implication is what to speak of the entirety of the universe. So instead of trusting authoritatively what the modern scientists say, Prabhupada himself has full trust in the statements of the Bhagavatam, and he wishes that we also have this trust. From this verse, however, we can understand, in other words, from the authority of the Bhagavatam, we can understand that if the valleys of some mountains are washed with milk, this produces emeralds. No one has the ability to imitate the activities of material nature as conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So very wonderful. The valleys of some mountains washed with milk produces emeralds. Text 5. The inhabitants of the higher planets, the Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Serpents, Kanaras, and Apsaras, go to that mountain to sport. Thus all the caves of the mountain are full of these denizens of the heavenly planets. Purport. As ordinary men may go to play in the salty ocean, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems go to the ocean of milk. They float in the ocean of milk and enjoy various sports within the caves of Trikuta Mountain. 6. Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. So they respond to the vibrations, the sound vibrations of the demigods, the denizens of heaven, singing in the caves, thinking it's a roaring. They respond with their own roaring as lions, because the native is a lion and he's the king. So when he hears the sound of another king, a competitor, he roars to show his prowess. Prabhupada's purport. In the higher planetary systems, there are not only different types of human beings, but also animals like lions and elephants. There are trees, and the land is made of emeralds. Such is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in this regard, Keshava, Tua Jagatava Chitra. My dear Lord Keshava, my Lord Keshava, your creation is colorful and full of varieties. Geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists speculate about other planetary systems. What does speculate mean? It means they use their minds and intelligence to try to understand another reality which they cannot perceive directly in front of them. So it's the use of the intelligence or mental faculties to understand. So that is very imperfect. Prabhupada makes this point again and again. Because it is defective, it is based on defective senses, and the mind tends to make mistakes. The person tends to cheat. The senses are imperfect. And there's a fourth defect. What is that? Imperfect senses, tendency to cheat, tendency towards illusion, and make mistakes. So one cannot truly understand perfectly. What to speak of the energy of the mind and intelligence being sufficient to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even it is insufficient to perfectly understand anything in this world. Geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists speculate about other planetary systems. But being unable to estimate the varieties on other planets, they falsely imagine that all planets but this one are vacant, uninhabited, and full of dust. Although they cannot even estimate the varieties existing throughout the universe, they are very proud of their knowledge, and they are accepted as learned by persons of similar caliber. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Svavidvara Hostra Karai Samstuta Purusha Pashu. Materialistic leaders are praised by dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, and they themselves are also big animals. So the concept is that animals praise other animals as being exalted. But all they're saying is that this person is a great animal. He's the best of the animals. But that doesn't make them human beings or all-knowing. But there is a tendency towards their pride. And this is a fault. I've been recently listening to Prabhupada speaking about the scientists, and he says their main fault is that they dared to conclude through their puny knowledge that there is no God. Yes, they may be able to know this and that and create this type of machine and that type of machine, or transplant a heart or transplant this. But how can they say there is no God? How do they dare say that? Where does it all come from? Where does matter come from? Is it spontaneously generated? So if it was spontaneously generated, big chunks and giant great bangs would appear. Why don't we see them happening all the time? Walking down the road and suddenly, boom, out of nothing comes, boom, this big chunk, and then it explodes and there's a great bang. Oh, it happened at some time very, very long time ago, but if it's, why isn't that happening? Or as Prabhupada would say, if monkeys can produce men at one time, why don't they produce men now? Some little monkey gives birth to a nice little male pup, and then you need a female little puppy too, puppy monkey. So, why doesn't it happen anymore? So quite unlikely is the point. And Prabhupada said, because of this Darwin's theory, because of this evolutionary theory, the acceptance of that, it has ruined the civilization. It has destroyed people's faith in God. And the result of that is people are thinking that everything we do is progress. Every nonsensical thing is progress. And the old-fashioned things are old-fashioned, antiquated, and they shouldn't be followed anymore. And it's fun to point out that it also means that the children are more evolved, more advanced than their parents. So therefore, who should listen to who? So the children like this theory very much. But the fact that everyone in society is praising the so-called great scientists who have a pride, and that's the great fault. And that's usually the fault of the mediocre scientists. The great scientists are humbled by the little that they know. But the mediocre personalities, they become proud, and that they like the praise of lesser animals. And they become considered big animals. But one should not be satisfied, Prabhupada continues, with the knowledge imparted by a big animal. Rather, one must take knowledge from a perfect person like Sukadeva Goswami. Mahajano Jainagata Sapanta. Our duty is to follow the instructions of the Mahajanas. There are 12 Mahajanas, and Sukadeva Goswami is one of them. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Komara, Kapilo, Manu, Pralado, Janako, Bhijmo, Balaya, Vyasakhi, Vayam. Vyasakhi is Sukadeva Goswami. Whatever he says, we consider to be factual. That is perfect knowledge. So continuing with this amazing description of these higher planetary areas. The valleys beneath Trikuta Mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals. And in the trees, which are maintained in gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with sweet voices. Trikuta Mountain has many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. Fragrance to the water and the breeze. 9-13. In the valley of Trikuta Mountain, there was a garden called Ritumat. The garden belonged to the great devotee Varuna and was a sporting place for the damsels of the demigods. Flowers and fruits grew there in all seasons. Among them were mandaras, Parijatas, these are the flowers and the trees, Patalas, Ashokas, Champak, Chuta, Pialas, Panashas, Mangoes, Amritakas, Kamukas, coconut trees, jade trees, and pomegranates. There were Madukas, palm trees, Tamals, Asan, Arjuns, Aristas, Undambaras, Plaksha, Banyan trees, Kimshukas, and sandalwood trees. There were also Pichu Marjas, Kovi Dadas, Sharadas, Soda Dadas, grapes, sugarcane, bananas, Jambu, Badris, Akshas, Abhayas, and Amalakis. These are the different plants and trees and fruits. In that garden, this is 14th or 19th, There was a very large lake filled with shining golden lotus flowers and the flower known as Kamuda, Kalara, Utpal, and Satapatras. 100 petals, lotus flowers, Satapatra. All these are all different types of lotus flowers, which added excellent beauty to the mountain. There were also Bilva, Kapitas, Jambira, and Balataka trees. Intoxicated bumblebees drank honey and hummed with the chirping of the birds whose songs were very melodious. So celestial, wonderful atmosphere. The lake was crowded with swans, karandavas, here's the birds, chakravakas, cranes, and flocks of water chickens, datyuhas, koyastis, and other murmuring birds. Because of the agitating movements of the fish and tortoises, the water was decorated with pollen that had fallen from the lotus flowers. The lake was surrounded by kadamba flowers, vetasa flowers, nalas, nipas, vanjulakas, kundas, kuravakas, ashokas, shirishas, kutajas, ingudas, kujabkas, svanayutis, nagas, punagas, jatis, malikas, satapatras, jalakas, and madvilatas. The banks were also abundantly adorned with varieties of trees that yielded flowers and fruits in all seasons. Thus the entire mountain stood gloriously decorated. Prabhupada's purport. Judging from the exhaustive description of the lakes and rivers on Trikuta Mountain, on earth there is no comparison to their super excellence. On other planets, however, there are many such wonders. For instance, we understood that there are 2 million different types of trees, and not all of them are exhibited on earth. Srimad Bhagavatam presents the total knowledge of the affairs of the universe. It is not only describes this universe, but also takes into account the spiritual world beyond the universe. No one can challenge the Srimad Bhagavatam's descriptions of the material and spiritual worlds. The attempts to go from the earth to the moon have failed, but the people of earth can understand what exists on other planets. There is no need of imagination. One may take actual knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and be satisfied. Translation of text 20. The leader of the elephants who lived in the forest of the mountain Trikuta once wandered towards the lake with his female elephants. He broke many plants, creepers, thickets, and trees, not caring for their piercing thorns. Simply by catching scent of that elephant, all the other elephants, the tigers and the other ferocious animals such as the lions, rhinoceroses, great serpents and black and white saravas fled in fear. The chamari deer also fled from this elephant. By the mercy of this elephant, animals like the foxes, wolves, buffaloes, bears, boars, goputas, porcupines, monkeys, rabbits, the other deer, and many other small animals loitered elsewhere in the forest. They were not afraid of him, but the big animals, they ran in fear. But the little animals felt quite, because he would not bother with them, so they were fearless. And they presented no challenge to him. Surrounded by the herd's other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Trikuta Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring. Liquor dripped from his mouth and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey, and from a distance he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers, which was carried from the lake by the breeze. Thus surrounded by his associates, who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake. The king of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then, with the aid of his trunk, he drank the cold, clear nectarian water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied. Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor. By the arrangement of providence, this is text 27, O Krishna, excuse me, O King, because providence ultimately is Krishna, actually. Even Krishna says this sometimes. He says, all these things happen by the arrangement of providence, fate. What that fate is divine ultimately. It's Krishna's arrangement. So when we pay our obeisances to providence or our fate, we are paying our obeisances to Krishna, really, and placing ourselves in his hands. This is actually the natural position of everyone. But it's very difficult in this world to do. Because in this world, we're attached to what we know. And we think of what we know as reality, as permanent, as substantial, as tangible. And we place our trust in these things. But actually, we also know at the same time that these things are temporary, always changing, and they offer really, truly no protection and shelter for us. So we simultaneously place our faith in them and simultaneously don't really trust them fully. And we have to forget their untrustworthiness to actually live in this world. But rather than illusioning ourselves in that way, forgetting the actual fleeting, temporary, ephemeral, untrustworthy nature of the material world, really what we should do is put our trust into Krishna and surrender and serve him. Hum tam sava papebhyo moksha shami masucha. Krishna says, masucha. Sarvadamam pratyajam, mame kam, surrender unto me only, mame kam. Masucha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, but give yourself to me and serve me, place yourself under my protection, under my mercy. This is Krishna's request, and this is the natural consciousness of every living entity, and this is the platform on which bhakti, actual devotional service, begins. When one acknowledges his position as being fully dependent upon Krishna and living in that fashion. Acknowledges his position as being tiny and subordinate to Krishna, who is great and vibhu, all powerful. So it's an acknowledgement of our natural position of service to Krishna. That is what surrender is. So that is, surrender is most glorious. Sharanagati. Surrender is most glorious. Take me, Krishna, use me as you like. I'm your servant, and whatever you give me, I will accept as your mercy. Most glorious, but not easy to do in this world. Fearful for the living entities. We forget that the material world is fearful, and we think that that is fearful. So by the arrangement of providence, O King, just like Prickett Maharaj had an arrangement of providence. What was his arrangement by providence? Well, prior to that, why did the snake bite him, or was going to bite him, the snake bird? He was cursed. He was cursed to die by an arrangement of providence, because he became angry at the king, at the sage, put the snake around his neck, and the son of Sringi, the son of the Brahmin, cursed him to die within 7 days. So he accepted this. This is the reactions of my life. This is an arrangement by providence. But it was a horrible thing. Stuck. The king is to die in 7 days. Horrible thing. See what happens when you surrender to Krishna? Anything can happen. But is it actually a horrible thing that Krishna arranged? No. It was a glorious thing. Because of this incident, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, which was good for everyone who has an opportunity to hear, but also good for Prickett Maharaj, who heard the Bhagavatam and went back to Godhead. Because if this didn't happen, would Prickett Raj have lived in that body forever? No, everyone has to die anyway. For one who has taken his birth, death is certain. So Krishna made a special arrangement for Prickett Maharaj so that he would become famous and leave this world in a glorious way. So that is the arrangement of providence. So now a very difficult arrangement of providence is coming also to this elephant. Maybe, perhaps at the end of the class, I'll read two short purports by Prabhupada about the arrangements of providence. And we'll give another example of something externally very bad and difficult, but turned around by vision, by spiritual vision, into something wonderful. So, by the arrangement of providence, O king, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. So crocodiles are famous for having the ability, once they get their jaws into something, you cannot pry it off. They don't have strength in opening their mouths, their jaws. But it's closed. Once they're closed, and they can't be pried off at all. They can't be taken off. So a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's legs in the water. Why was the crocodile angry at the elephant? Maybe when he went in, he disturbed him. It's hard to say at this point. Actually, this was from something previous that had happened in a previous life. So when someone's angry at us, we've disturbed them. Maybe the elephant went in the water and he was splashing the water around as if he was the king of the water. So sometimes we do things like that and someone becomes angry at us. But why actually they're angry at us? Who knows where it began? As we will hear later on. So this strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong, and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by providence. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his wives felt very, very sorry and began to cry. But did that help Gajendra? Nope. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's great strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind. They tried to pull him out of the water, but they couldn't. O king, the elephant and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing the fight, the demigods were very surprised. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. On all levels, he became diminished in the water. He was fighting in the water. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. Prabhupada's purport, a very important purport. Prabhupada was in Hawaii when he wrote this purport in 1976. Was described at the end of the last canto. And at this time, Prabhupada got news that one of his dear disciples, a sannyasi, had left the sannyas ashram. A very, very beloved disciple of Prabhupada had left being a sannyasi. He became distracted. And Prabhupada indirectly mentions that he was young. Oh, everyone was young in those days other than Prabhupada. So Prabhupada indirectly mentions it and prescribes for such a situation, unfortunate situation within this purport. So the frame of reference is the crocodile and the elephant fighting, and the crocodile overwhelming the elephant gradually, because he is in his element of the water, And the elephant gradually becomes weakened because he's out of his natural element of the land. Prabhupada's purport. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food, and under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. And because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this, we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy, in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone, and therefore there are divisions of vana ashram, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one take sannyas. Asvamedam gavalambam sannyasam palapaitrikam davarena sutotpatim kalo pancha vavarayet vavarjayet from the Brahma Vavarta Purana. From this we can understand in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks that he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean that he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do, and at the same time one can be a Grihastha if he's satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended stanesthita shutagatam tanuvam manobhya. One may stay in whatever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram, but one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the Grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength. But one should not give up the fighting and go away. So Prabhupada was being very liberal there. That if one is a sannyasi already, he should go to the ashram where it is allowed to be married and associate with women. Very liberal on the most basic and most important principle that one should not give up his Krishna consciousness, that one should not give up the struggle against Maya, that one should continue fighting to become a pure devotee and serving. So that principle is even a stronger principle, that one locate oneself wherever one is situated, even if one at one time in one life in his life placed himself as a sannyasi and Traditionally, it is a terrible thing to leave the sannyasa ashram. But worse than that, Prabhupada is saying, is to give up the fight altogether. Thinking that I have failed, and therefore what's the use of me continuing, and everyone's going to talk about me and say this and say that and say that. Look at this person, he's done that. Somehow or another, don't give up the fight in Krishna consciousness with Maya to advance and use our life purposefully. On that, Prabhupada was very, 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 very liberal. He didn't want anyone, especially someone like this devotee, or anyone who had done so much service and was so affectionate to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was so affectionate to him. He did not want him to leave Krishna consciousness. He wanted to and misuse his life. So that was Prabhupada's affection and liberality. Prabhupada said at one point, I've just recently read this also, that if I was very, very strict, I again would be alone. I would be the only person preaching. So that's the reality. It's a war against the illusory energy. Although nowadays, people are not, even in the movement, are not so interested in the war against Maya and thinking, as Prabhupada is saying, the metaphor that Prabhupada's using here is the soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement. Most of the devotees don't quite think of themselves as soldiers nowadays. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy. That was really the movement that Prabhupada had, the mood that Prabhupada had. It was a war against Maya, and the books were the bombs. So if someone gets wounded and can't continue in one capacity in this war, Prabhupada wished that they take up another role and continue fighting Maya for their own good and for the benefit of the world. Therefore, stanaistita shudagatam tanaman manobhya. This is an injunction that was accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that no one, everyone, there's actually two ways to go in Krishna consciousness in one sense. One, can very strongly surrender. And in some senses that way is recommended because one gets it over, all over very fast. But in another sense, the slow, gradual process is more natural, and that is that one stay in one's position and just hear about Krishna. If one just stays in one's position and doesn't hear about Krishna, one will just rot in one's position and go backwards and become entangled. Or if one doesn't do any service. But basically, one should stay in a position that's natural for him or her, to do some service and hear about Krishna, and hear about Krishna. Yepya so jito jito pyasitas trilokyam. The ajita, the unconquerable Lord, will become conquered by someone who acts in this way. One should hear, though, not only stay in one's position, but hear and also do service. Not that hearing isn't service, but if one becomes a devotee, naturally one wants to serve Krishna. That's what it means to be a devotee. One wants to do something in the service of the Lord, make offerings, gestures of affection based on the devotion. But not for pratishtha, for some, to get some accredit. Get people saying, oh, what a powerful devotee, and the accolades and the reverence. Not to do things for that. Upasakaran. who declares these weeds? Rather, stay simple and become a good devotee. Prabhupada once said, it is better to be try to become a good devotee. Don't try and become a great devotee. But be a devotee. And even if one has difficulty, be a devotee. Even if one at times may do something wrong, nevertheless, still be a devotee. Still keep trying. If one falls down 1,000 times, one should get up 1,000 times. And so that leaves you up, by the way. And keep on trying, keep on trying. And that's surrender. Keep on trying. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence, and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, he could not save himself from danger. He was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. What did he? Well, he was in a helpless condition, and he became frightened because we're fighting and fighting and fighting. And we always think in the back of our mind that we're going to win. But then at some point, the realization comes. At some point in our life, it will come. This battle I'm going to lose. I'm going to die. So the elephant had this realization that I'm going to die. And he became terrified. Prabhupada's purport. Everyone in the material world is engaged in a struggle for existence. Everyone tries to save himself from danger, but when one is unable to save himself, if he is pious, he then takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Shatovita bhajante mam jana sukhitanor jana sukhitanor. If one is pious. Arto gigyasa artati gyani cha bharatar sabha. Four kinds of pious men, namely one who is in danger, one who is in need of money, one who is searching for knowledge, and one who is inquisitive, begin to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to be saved or to advance. The king of the elephants, in his condition of danger, decided to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. After considerable thought, he intelligently arrived at this correct decision. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are pious, Sukriti, can decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. 32. The other elephants, this is what he was thinking. This is what the elephant was thinking. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. Prabhupada's purport. The material world is described as padam padam yad vibhadam, which means that at every step there is danger. A fool wrongly thinks that he is happy in this material world, but in fact he is not. For one who thinks that way is only illusioned. At every step, at every moment, there is danger. In modern civilization, one thinks that if he has a nice home and a nice car, his life is perfect. In the Western countries, especially in America, it is very nice to possess a good car. But as soon as one is on the road, there is danger. Because at any moment, an accident may take place and one will be killed. The record actually shows that so many people die in such accidents. Therefore, if we actually think that this material world is a very happy place, this is our ignorance. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. This isn't the good news that people are usually looking for. This actually is good news, because unless one wakes up to the bad news of the material world, one will have no inclination to get out and seek something other than this. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows, and may try to take care of ourselves, but unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nasringa nartasya jagadam udanvati majato nao taptasya tad pati vidirya ihanjaseshtas tavadibhutanavitam tvarum upetchitanam. We may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract the dangers of this material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will never make us happy. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mudhas, rascals. Namam diskritino mudha papadyante naradava. Those who are the lowest of men refuse to take Krishna consciousness because they think they will be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. This is their mistake. The decision of the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was correct. In such a dangerous position, he sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we may think that this is very easy to do when one is in danger, because it's so easy and obvious that no one else can protect us, but actually it isn't. Because the mind becomes so disturbed in a dangerous position, it becomes feverish, it trembles, or it becomes angry, or it becomes depressed. So one really needs to practice continuously in chanting Krishna's name and taking shelter of Krishna in easy positions, in hard positions, in dangerous positions, in semi-dangerous positions. This is really our mission and our challenge, to become Krishna conscious in all circumstances, to depend on Krishna in all circumstances. Indeed, Kunti Devi said, the dangerous times are better. Vipadadya santu. I'd rather be in the dangerous positions because then I'm with you, O Lord Krishna. Text 33, the final verse and purport in this chapter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the elephant Gajendra speaking, Gajapati, is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, if one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord, the Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him, the great and powerful Supreme Authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. Prabhupada's purport. One who is intelligent understands there is a great and supreme authority above everything. That great authority appears in different incarnations to save the innocent from disturbances. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Pritranaya Sadunam Vinasaya Chidaskritam, the Lord appears in his various incarnations for two purposes: to annihilate the duskritis, the sinful, and to protect his devotees. The king of the elephants decided to surrender unto him. This is intelligent. One must know the great Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. The Lord comes personally to instruct us how to be happy, and only fools and rascals do not see by intelligence this supreme authority, the supreme person. In the Shruti mantra it is said, Vishasman vata pavate vishodeti suryaha Vishasmar agnis chandrascha mrityu davati panchama. It is out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the wind is blowing, that the sun is distributing heat and light, and that death is chasing everyone. Thus there is a supreme controller, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharan. This material manifestation is working so well because of the Supreme Controller. Any intelligent person, therefore, can understand that there is a Supreme Controller. Furthermore, the Supreme Controller himself appears as Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Lord Ramachandra to give us instructions and to show us by example how to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet those who are duskriti, the lowest of men, do not surrender. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, mrityu savaharas chaham. I am all devouring death. Thus, mrityu or death is the representative who takes everything away from the living entity who has accepted a material body. No one can say, I do not fear death. This is a false proposition. Everyone fears death. However, one who seeks shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be saved from death. One may argue, does the devotee not die? The answer is that a devotee certainly must give up his body, for the body is material. The difference is, however, that for one who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, this present body is his last. He will not again receive a material body to be subjected to death. Surrenders to Krishna fully. This is assured in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Takvidam puna janma naiti mam so arjuna. Naiti so arjuna. A devotee, after giving up his body, does not accept a material body, but returns home back to Godhead. We are always in danger because at any moment death can take place. It is not only that Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was afraid of death. Everyone should fear death, because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time and may die at any moment. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggle for existence in this material world in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach us under this understanding is the ultimate goal of life. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 2nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. So, if Krishna allows, tomorrow we shall begin reading Gajendra's prayers of surrender. Questions or comments? Oh, yes. Is there a first canto of the Bhagavatam? One. Maybe someone could actually get it from the computer room. Is that what you were mentioning, that I had mentioned something? Yes, and that's the way that Krishna... This is the wrong one. No, yes, this is right. Yeah, but this is how Krishna arranged it. And how can we argue with his arrangement unless we are very arrogant and to think, I have a better way that you could have done it, Krishna. Everyone could have been at a football or playing golf, at a golf game. And then the Bhagavad Gita could have been spoken of around that. Or playing mahjong or something. Or in the supermarket. Narada Muni was just a boy of 5 years old, and just after he had heard Krishna about Krishna consciousness from the great Bhaktivedantas, they left. And then, very soon after that, his mother, who was the one he was depending upon and who was depending on him, went out one night to milk a cow, and she was bitten by a snake and she died. Two short purports. Once upon a time, this is the verse, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. Kala Chodita. Time means providence. Prabhupada's two-sentence purport. That is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken away from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. Narada Muni saw it actually, his mercy, even though he was so young. And the verse says, I took this as the special mercy of the Lord who always desires benedictions for his devotees. So that's the mood of a devotee in all circumstances. That Krishna always desires my benediction and this is his will. And so thinking, Narada started for the north. Prabhupada's short purport. Confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished, and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. Again, what is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. So one has to be very strong and fixed to have that vision and pious. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gajendra ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai.